morning tone.
Kenny, hello. Welcome in. Great to be with you on a Wednesday.
I got a weird thing to get off my chest here to start the show.
By all means.
It is so out of right field, and you guys are going to look at me like I have lobsters.
Ken's about to cook.
Because I know I'm never going to get a chance to say it on the show. Let me just say this right at the beginning of the show. I just do not care, and I'm done reading articles. I know they got to do these things for the SEO. Can you explain SEO in 5 seconds?
Search engine optimization.
Okay, and that is what gets you clicks.
Put
and
Taylor
so there's
Swift.
Words. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So like when
Elon
we do
Elon Musk,
yeah, so
Trump,
we do
President Trump.
When we do the emerging podcast scene, if Mitch doesn't have Shador Sanders' name in there, even when we didn't talk about him, there will be a fist fight out
it's
in the hallway.
It's a wasted opportunity.
So I understand this, right? I do not care who Bill Belichick has sex with.
Oh, okay.
And I do not care who has sex with Bill Belichick.
So they engaged or what?
I do not care. I don't care. I don't care if she is operating him like a puppet. I don't care if she has strapped something to his back and is using him as an RC toy or like a robot to do his bidding. I don't care. I don't care. Florio is writing about it every single day. And it's just like, guys, I don't care.
Wall-to-wall Bill Belichick
coverage? It is wall-to-wall Bill Belichick's bedroom with this Jordan Hudson woman. I'm like, folks, we gotta be honest with each other here. And I wanted to say this on the newscast a couple of nights ago on 8. And they were like, I don't know if that's going to go over well. I don't know if I'd say it like that. I go, okay, fine. So I'll say it on the radio because it goes over much better on the radio because I have a chance to explain myself. Old people having interest in young people is something that's been going on for eons and eons and eons and will probably never stop. Old people having interest, 70-plus-year-old people having interest in 20-plus-year-old people will never stop. It happens. It happens any way you can think of it. Owen, you and I know a guy who had a 70-plus-year-old man take a pass at him once when he was in his 20s. Flattering? Yes. Flattering, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're into. It is still something that happens. 70-year-old men, 70-year-old women will like a 20-something piece of beefcake. It doesn't matter on either end. Women, men, it doesn't matter. I don't understand the obsession. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
But in this case, isn't the obsession that not only is all that happening, which just that's all back page, New York Post, that's all TMZ, that's all that stuff. So people are always going to, just because Bill Belichick's such a big name. But not only that, and by the way, one of the most controlling figures in sports since, what, Bobby Knight? I mean, in a long time, Bill Parcells, one of the most controlling figures in sports, and yet he seems like he's being controlled to some extent.
And at first, that was maybe part of it. Like, I can't believe Bill Belichick finds himself the one being up. I just thought it was Bill, like the cyborg in his own right. He is finding himself vulnerable to a young woman.
Finally, right. You've seen a glitch.
All right, that lasted 5 minutes. The CBS interview. All right, that was awkward and weird. I do not care. I don't care. I don't care about UNC. I haven't cared about UNC football since Mitch Trubisky, and then before that, maybe Jabril Peppers. Whatever, man. Whatever. If it's consensual and everything, God bless you. I don't care. What?
Julius Peppers.
Did I say Jabril? I'm sorry. Julius Peppers.
Although where Jabril Peppers was lined up sometimes.
It's in Chapel Hill.
Sometimes he was down there in Chapel Hill.
Okay,
correct.
So I'm kind of with you too. Like a lot of it is it's going a little over the top, but then it's like there's always a new story, and one of them.
But they're
was
not
that,
new stories.
Was one of them that NFL Films was supposed to be doing Hard Knocks right there at North Carolina, and she got it killed because she demanded
they wanted a piece. Well, okay. Well, you know what? It is Bill Belichick. It is Bill Belichick. And he is the scion of coaches. It's him. It's Saban. And there's great coaches that we know of right now. And then there's him and Saban. And if she wants to see if there's a piece of the pie to get, fine. I don't. I congratulations on all your sex. I don't care.
Is there a chance that all along it's really Belichick that wants all this stuff and he is just
probably
pawning it off? I know it's her. What am I going to do?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it is. I don't think she cares at all about anything any of us have to say about her and calling her nasty things. And there's a lot of people calling her nasty things. It is what it is. I just know we would never, ever going to get to it. And I just got in this morning and I read another thing and, she's been telling people they're engaged and he won't say he's engaged. I went, okay, I'm just going to. Guardians got rained out last night. I know we had the Western Conference final, but I still think some people are in a Cavs hangover here. I'm like, oh, let's use a few minutes. I'm just going to get that off my chest.
So was it not?
And now it's off my chest and I feel
was
better.
It not true that they're getting married? I know there was a lot of.
Get married. Don't get married.
A lot of the rumor sites were circling yesterday.
Get married.
That they were getting engaged.
Isn't that who the invitation marked to the whole station was sent from?
Oh, would you attend a Bill Belichick wedding?
I still haven't found who that person sent it to. And now I gotta send a regrets to somebody else. Unless you guys want to go. I don't know if your schedules are going to permit it. I still have to send a regrets. It's sitting on my office table.
Probably got an 11-year-old playing highlight that day or something.
Hyalai in Northeast Ohio. Yeah, I'm sure you can come over with a better excuse than that. There, be careful with that ball. I've seen them videos. That ain't no joke.
It's the walls that'll get you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. We were in Miami. I saw Hyalai Court. And I'm like, when are we ever going to get a chance to go in there? And we still didn't go.
Isn't that the capital of North American Hyalai?
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal. It's a big, big, big deal. And I'm like, man, I love that. Like, one time, be careful I say this. We ended up at a racetrack some many years ago at a like horse track. And I remember back in the day, I didn't realize how big just off track betting is. Now everybody just sits at home and just watches on the cameras on the TV. So they have this live betting all over the country, especially in the East. But you can do whatever. And they just sit at home. Well, there used to be like stadium seating. And I remembered going to the track as a kid with my uncle, and there would be thousands of people at the track. And it was a hoot. It was a blast. And people get loud, and it was so much fun. I didn't realize that people were betting their life savings on like to the, oh, my goodness gracious. Now, here comes Johnny. He's running third. Like, it was unbelievable to me. I didn't realize that. So I just thought it was a lot of fun. And now I went there this was about 3-4 years ago, and it was like empty. And there was like a few like hardcore guys who like had like the old winter jacket on, and they're sitting there and they're smoking. They were allowing smoke in, and they're writing down the things and the paper books, the forms, if you will.
Oh, you gotta fill out forms.
And I felt like that would be the highlight thing would be like that. Like I'd go in there and there'd be like some hard scrabble gamblers in there, and I love a seedy place every now and then, and I wanted to go, and I didn't get to go. And so anytime if Mitch is going to Miami, Mitch should go down and bet on some Hyalai. Have him go down there and bet on some Hyalai. Get the Hyalai in you. You'll be thankful you did, Mitch. I'm glad I got that off my chest. You have a theory about Evan and Giannis?
I do. One good, one bad. One good, one bad.
Well, let's share the bad one good first.
The bad one is the reason that you're hearing Evan Mobley involved in deals to get Giannis is because I don't think people think this core is going to win a championship. I'm talking like the national writers, the national people that weigh in on this.
Yeah.
By the way, a lot of those national guys absolutely were in love with the Cavs and their development and Darius and trading for Donovan. A lot of those same people after this flame out, I don't think they think they're going to win a title.
All right.
Want the good part?
Yeah, so they don't. So this Cavs, they think that this ain't happening.
That because why else would you have to move? Why would you ever even think about trading Evan Mobley if you think you're going to be like the Oklahoma City Thunder next year?
It's a fair point.
Okay,
it's the a other real
side,
fair point.
Here's the good side. The good side, which is multi-tiered, is A, they want a good ending for Giannis. They feel like Giannis has been stuck and has had no chance to win. Enter in the Cleveland Cavs. They think that if Giannis comes to Cleveland, the fun Giannis can come out again and win championships and punctuate his career. Because if he just goes down with one title in his career, it's going to be like, how did that happen? And he's one of the rare superstars where he doesn't get the flack. You know, James Harden gets the flack, right?
Yeah.
Like all the players that don't win, normally it's on them. They go after them for those, quote, failures.
True.
Won't be the case. And they think the Cavs with Giannis are not only exciting, full of potential, but really, they think Giannis is going to win championships if he comes to Cleveland.
So, I like that.
So there's a bad there, but there's a good there.
Well, the bad there, yeah, but, okay, I got John Fanta from yesterday, our buddy from Fox Sports 1. By the way, congratulating on sex. I mean, they just had a baby. Congratulations to him and his wife. Boy? Is a boy?
You got a 50% chance here.
Yeah, I think it was a boy. Anyway, congratulations on the child. Here is John Fanta yesterday. I think he's in agreement with your theory here. Go ahead. He was asked if the Cavs should run it back.
Do you do what he did last year and run it all back, or do you make some changes?
No. In the NBA, simply running it back doesn't work. The Boston Celtics just ran it back. They're sitting at home, and they won the championship last year, and they ran it back, and everyone's like, oh, they're running it back. They're going to just win it again. It's not how it works. The New York Knicks made a bold move. A move that a lot of people did, a couple of moves that a lot of people didn't foresee being in their offseason.
He is really turning into Matt Foley, motivational speaker. He sounds so exasperated. I love that guy. Then I think he agrees with you. I think the American people agree with you. Like, how many people other than the ones that are just, I don't know, they're just so beholden to this group, really want to run it back? I don't think Kobe Altman even wants to run it back.
Yeah, I mean, despite what he said yesterday.
You can say 2 days ago, you can say whatever you want to in a press conference, but honestly, do you believe that he wants to run it back? Do you believe Kobe Altman really wants to run it back?
No, I think he's actively looking for Jared Allen.
Exactly. Thank you. So if he's actively looking for something, I think the majority of the people would understand, the bad part ain't so bad. I think it might just be the truth. If it's the truth, it might not be a good truth, but it's something that you could remedy. You could help. I don't think it needs fixing because you're a good basketball team, but you certainly need help. All right, how can you help it? Well, they believe if Giannis were to come here, then Giannis could win championships with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you're using with yes at the end, multiple. We could stop the run in 7 in 7 years. Could we win back-to-back for crying out loud is what you're saying. I mean, that's wild. So I'm down with this theory. It's a good theory. It's a tough theory to hear for some people because they just love Evan Mobley so much, but I think that's a damn good theory.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Last night, game one of the Western Conference Finals going to the Oklahoma City Thunder in a 114-88 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves, which Shai Gilgeous-Alexander made an MVP case with 31 points, 5 rebounds, and 9 assists, including 11 of 14 from the free throw line, which prompted some reaction, so to say, on social media regarding his foul call merchanting, in which Doris Burke actually commented it during the game. This is audio courtesy of ESPN.
He's a great free throw shooter. 5 of 7. He's taken 7 free throws already in 4.5 minutes.
There's a reason NBA Twitter likes to call him the free throw merchant, Mike.
Just putting it out there flat out.
It was ridiculous at the start of yesterday's game. Absolutely ridiculous, especially because you knew that this has been primed by, you know, the coaches. They've all been alerting the NBA to this. And he got, like, how many calls right off the bat?
Star power. Good. There's somebody worth talking about getting fouls, getting to the line. That's star power.
I mean, he was just diving to the ground.
They need a star.
But is this at the point where Oklahoma City is just going to use a strategy for the remainder of the playoffs? Because it just feels like they're going to bully ball opposing teams in the first half and then just run away with their talent in the second.
No. That will be, I imagine that will be, if it didn't start, how many free throws do you know, I'm going to put you in a bad spot, do you know how many free throws he shot in the second half?
It wasn't as many as the first half, I know that for sure.
I imagine that's going to be remedied as soon as possible.
In fact, what was it, 7 in the first 4 minutes they said? So half of his free throws came within like a portion of the game, which
That was immediately talked to them about, and I'm sure they found out at halftime even more, and then I'm sure they're going to find out even more after the game, and I think that will be remedied by game 2.
Well, after yesterday's game, we had a comment from a former head coach that took on the Thunder, not this year, but in recent past, Michael Malone, formerly of the Denver Nuggets. He's on ESPN's coverage, and he had some strong words for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander And some people were taking note of that because he had a former MVP on his roster.
You cannot come into this building and turn the ball over and expect to win. And obviously OKC's defense, they do it at an elite level. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he showed why he's the MVP. He took over in the second half, did so in a very efficient manner, and put the team on his back when they needed him to do so.
There were many last night referring to this as a petty move by the recently ousted Nuggets head coach.
I didn't think it was very petty. I think it was probably the truth. He put a team on his back, and they're in the Western Conference Finals. Nikola Jokic was not able to do that. Now, this is a regular season thing we're talking about with MVP, but I think there's always a conversation to be had once somebody wins MVP, Anthony, of who the real MVP is. I mean, we did that for years and years with you-know-who right here in Cleveland.
Yeah, I do think if I had a vote, I would have voted for SGA. Obviously,
you should have a vote.
It's weird with Jokic. Not if I can't stay up longer. That's a problem. Need to be able to stay up longer.
Well, I mean, I watch
maybe
as much.
You can use that as a reason to stay. I can't tonight. I've got to watch games. I got to get my vote in.
Oh, there you go.
Well, somebody's got to be able to get a vote for prestigious awards here because I know I'll never get a Heisman vote. So I might as well try to get you a vote for all MVP.
You voted on best burger that one time.
That
doesn't count.
On the old night show.
The issue here, like, obviously,
that was my award.
Jokic every year is doing it, just statistically has put up numbers we've never seen before. Across the board, his levels of efficiency and all that. But I just think SGA, because his team had so many wins, 68, like, we don't have to overthink it. He plays both sides of the ball, pretty good on defense. He was outrageously good on offense, too. Jokic is just not really a defensive player. So I'm surprised anybody really had Jokic as the MVP this year, even though he had a fantastic season.
I think it is based on habit. If they would have won that Game 7, we would be taking even less stock into SGA's MVP candidacy, fair or not, because he has been probably the top guy so far this year. We had baseball yesterday. Actually, no, we didn't, because for the second consecutive day, the Guardians and Twins were rained out. They're going to try and make it up in a doubleheader today, and then I believe on September 20th, they're going to try and make up the games later on in the year. However, some good news and bad news from yesterday in baseball. The bad news, Travis Bazzana, the number one overall selection by the Guardians in this past draft, will be out for the next 8 to 10 weeks with an oblique strain. Another Cleveland prospect just missing a huge chunk of time with just an out-of-nowhere injury.
I thought you were going to play the audio of Baskin and Phelps and get me going on a rant.
I thought
for sure you were going
to
do it.
I would have, except it's a too long a clip, but we might get to it later on in the show.
It is 55 seconds.
So what happened?
Oh, they just, well, that seals it up for all you people who thought he was coming up this year. It's like, okay, yeah, we're not allowed to have it. It's amazing. People who like professional sports like to see the next big thing. That is not a hard concept. And it was almost as if Baskin was enjoying it that he wasn't going to be brought up this year. Which, again, I understand. If you don't think the Guardians are really going to do anything this year, or if they're not going to make the postseason, then yeah, you might as well just keep Bazzana down. But I don't like this still, because I don't like celebrating that he's not able to come up. One, because I don't think that he's celebrating an injury, but it is because of an injury. Two, I don't think we should celebrate fiscal responsibility of something that's supposed to be a fantasy. Professional sports is supposed to be a fantasy. I don't celebrate the Guardians' fiscal responsibility. I accept it. I respect it. But I don't celebrate it. It should not be something that's celebrated.
No,
there.
But I do think,
call the show Two Wet Blankets.
I do think
10 to 2 in the midday.
Everybody has
soak them down in the midday.
The people that follow this very closely, they've all made it seem like Bazzana is going to come up way sooner than any of the other prospects, even like Francisco Lindor. So I do think it's exciting to think about him coming up. This stinks. This stinks about the injury situation, because they've had the bugaboo when it comes to this, you know, in the early part of the season.
Now, the good news for the Guardians yesterday in terms of injuries was David Fry getting back into action down in Akron, had a single in the Rubber Ducks win over Altoona. This is David Fry after the game talking about how he's, you know, keeping pace with his injury recovery.
The trainers do a really good job. They make sure, you know, I'm doing all my work, and they're going to make sure we're not doing too much. The last thing you're going to do is push us and make things worse. So I'm always itching to get back out there, but I know they're doing their job, and they know what they're doing. So I'm just kind of following their cue.
All right, I'm gonna dig into David Fry's pockets here for a second. He's on a rehab assignment. Ooh, making 781, almost 782,000. That's still nice, but after taxes, you know, what's his gift to the team being on his rehab assignment?
Well, they're in Altoona, right? So you got to factor that in.
Yes. No, I thought they were at home.
I think they were at home last night.
Yeah.
They were
at home.
Playing out.
They're playing
yes.
on tuna. But usually you do it at home and then you leave them.
$700 worth of tuna.
No. I don't know what he does then. You don't want to spend too much.
I think you got to cater a nice dinner, right? At least.
You cater a nice dinner. Okay. Maybe that's a possibility. That is a time-honored tradition if you go down. But, I mean, usually you have to have a significant contract. Like when I tell the Kerry Wood story, Kerry Wood is making $10 million that year. That's a hell of a lot of money to make that year, even after taxes. So maybe it's different for David Fry. Not sure. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but another time-honored tradition is the annual celebrity softball game for the Browns and down in Lake County. David Njoku's game this year for the second consecutive season, in which we had a listed number of Browns players and non-Browns players that will be attending the game out at Lake County on June 19th. We have Joe Flacco in the mix. We have Shador Sanders officially confirmed on there as well. We have a number of veterans, including Jerry Jeudy in the mix, former Browns Joe Hayden, and Josh Cribbs. A number of top names that'll be returning to Classic Auto Group Park this summer.
Okay, moving on. Go ahead.
Well, we also had the name of Joe Burrow yesterday, who will not be at the game this summer, but we did have a clip from him yesterday talking about how he wants different primetime games for the Bengals this season.
Playing in Baltimore for the fourth straight primetime year isn't ideal. Maybe we could get one of those in Cincinnati next year, please. Maybe an international game next year, too. Part of the reason I wanted to do the quarterback show, I wanted to help grow the game internationally, and so to not have a stage like that is a little disappointing. Consciously worked hard to try to grow the game internationally over the last 18 months or so, hopefully at some point in my career we can go over there.
Joe Burrow dresses like a wrestler at the beginning of his career going through different gimmicks. Thoughts, Anthony?
His odd style.
I think he has many different styles.
Yeah, kind of caught maybe an identity crisis.
Like I think he's going through his Texas Red before he gets to the Undertaker. I'm not sure what he's really doing, but
why does he care?
I do not care about he. You do you want? Don't you want a little bit of consistency if you're a football player?
You mean just when you play your games?
Yeah.
Maybe he feels like he's way too good to be just stuck at 1 o'clock on Sundays every week. But, you know, part of it is staying healthy and being on a good team, and they're just not, they just haven't been that good of a team. I'm curious why he cares so much about growing the game of football. You don't hear that with a lot of NFL people. That's an NBA thing. And you hear that all the time, and obviously baseball, you know, depending on where you are, is really big in some spots internationally. The NBA, you hear that all the time. I do not hear a lot of current NFL players saying they want to grow the game internationally. I think that's very interesting. What does he get out of that?
The four primetime games they have this year are at Denver week 4, you have at versus Pittsburgh on week 7, and then at Baltimore week 13, at Miami week 16. None of them great matchups in comparison to what you might expect from a Joe Burrow-led Bengals team.
Okay.
And that's it for About Last Night.
All right. I want to play some clips for you here. Does it sound... I want to know from you. I mean, you are the political being on this show. If it sounds like... not. I said that raising the white flag, and I guess that's how I'll say, like, did the mayor raise the white flag yesterday with the Galaxy on Fox 8? I think it's just kind of an admission of what he's kind of wanted all along. But we'll see where it goes. There's been some strong words if you've been following the news this week. The Browns put out a public letter addressed to the county, Chris Renane. Chris Renane fired back. There was a war of words. There was a response by the Browns, and then I'm sitting there going, where's the mayor? Where's the mayor? Where's the mayor? Well, he was with the Galax. He got double galloped, which can I give him credit? Usually, that is the worst thing in the world. If the Galax end up on your front porch, run out the back door and run as far and as fast as you can. If one Galax shows up, that's one thing. If you get double galloped, we know.
You never want to get double galloped.
You never want to get double galloped, but damn it, he sat down with both them Galax. He was on the firing line, and this is what the mayor of Cleveland, Justin Bibbs, said in an interview with Fox 8's I-Team, where it feels as almost he seems to admit the Browns are leaving, and then he has more important things than the Browns.
There are more important priorities than the Cleveland Browns. We got to move on. They're going to Brook Park. If they go to Brook Park, God bless them. Good luck. But by hell or high water, we are going to develop a lakefront that our residents can be proud of.
Now, he does have a thought about an empty building a giant 68,000 seat stadium sitting there with no tenant right along the lakeshore.
It's important that the city of Cleveland is not left empty handed, that we don't have an abandoned stadium downtown. The business community, the state, and the Browns must do the right thing to transition the city of Cleveland so we can continue the progress that we need to have on the lakefront.
Again, audio courtesy of Fox 8 News.
It seems to be a huge debate over what the Haslams owe the city of Cleveland when it comes to that building and the fact that it's just there and who's going to be responsible for it and how do you essentially get rid of it so that you can start that development in earnest and get it going? Because obviously, you know, in a perfect world, we would have loved a dome as part of the development, but you know that the Haslams want to control the parking. They want retail. It's just never seemed to be a way to get that done exactly there. I've had other people in the real estate world go, what about this spot? What about this spot in Cleveland?
Along the lakefront, you're saying?
No, not necessarily there, but just about the dome, you know, in general.
Oh,
why?
God, I've heard everywhere.
Yeah.
Why? Everywhere.
I was talking to somebody yesterday. What about Opportunity Corridor? There's been no substantial, you know, growth over there, which was the intention of, you know, ripping through three different neighborhoods to build that so you could save 4 minutes to get to Little Italy. Like, I mean, I'll never understand that. But in the end, is there a responsibility? Do the Haslams feel that they owe the city of Cleveland anything to spur real development there? Because we all agree, and it's been said for 30 years, God, it's been said forever, about how the city, the county, the past leaders, the predecessors of Mayor Bibb,
yeah,
how they've all failed to really ignite any kind of development. I will say, you know, if you're wondering like the legacy of Bibb, yeah, I mean, the team leaving downtown Cleveland would be a hit until there's development. If there really is development down there that makes a difference, well, that changes things because so now you'd have a world-class facility right down the road in Brook Park. And to me, wouldn't that be the best of both worlds?
Well, they've talked about soccer stadiums on the lakefront or on the other side of the highway here. That's been brought up several times. I'm not sure. You have to get a tenant for that. That has to be something that's sustainable. You have to get those leagues to agree with you. I think that the WNBA is a great start, and if they are able to full on attain a WNBA franchise, I think that might be a great start to we have four teams now in this city plus a minor league hockey team in this city. It is while you look at the city size population, you go the metro is still very 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 large, and so that's what your one of your attractions are.
Yeah, top 20.
But when you redevelop that land, I mean, there's a lot more than just a, 25,000 seat soccer stadium that goes around it. Because I think his vision for it, and I've heard things, not as much as you, but I hear things over these last 3-4 years about what their vision may be for downtown development. I think one of the issues that he's facing, though, is that any Clevelander has heard about downtown development and these great big projects for their entire lives. I mean, the late great Dick Fegler said, you know, if what was drawn on paper was actually built in the city of Cleveland, we'd be a city from outer space. So many people have seen so many different things that have not come to fruition. It's hard not to be cynical about such things because of whatever that gets in the way of these projects. So that is a big thing that he needs to do, because to build a stadium, hey, that's 3 years. Now, how long is it going to take to build a stadium? I mean, they probably got to get their shovels in the dirt as soon as they possibly can.
They do need to get going. There's a little bit of urgency.
Take a little more time than Cleveland Brown Stadium.
If it's supposed to open like 29, right? 29, yes. So 26, 27.
That's when the lease will be up with.
So you're looking at 4 years there. Well, you got to tear that stadium down, and then you're going to have to start showing. I mean, we're talking about 15 years here. I mean, we're talking about your kid. How old's your youngest? I mean, we're talking about your kid being in high school by the time you're starting to see some real, like, okay, this is long-lasting return on the development here. Like, this has been one of the things where, you know, I've kind of wondered with the city of Oakland, where there have been people who have been very critical of the city of Oakland for letting the Warriors leave, and they just moved across the bay, for letting the Raiders and the A's leave. Like, how could you do that? They say they believe in more sustainable, longer-term development there. All right, but it takes a while to show that. So you're going to have to deal with a lot of criticism. And then you're going to have to deal with the public faith. And faith can be shaken so many times over with so many politicians because we've heard so many stories of political boondoggling that happens where none of this stuff ever gets finished. None of it ever gets finished. Yeah. I mean, hell, I'm in my hometown, I'm dealing with something that hasn't gotten finished yet, and it's been taken for 3 years, and it's just sitting there on concrete right now.
On that timeline, the mayor in that timeline could be in college right now.
Exactly.
Be a college student.
Right? Exactly.
That's crazy to think
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And for a guy like Justin Bibb, we make jokes all the time, and I know that your buddy calls him Mayor Resume. I know that he doesn't want to be the mayor of Cleveland for the rest of his career. I think he probably wants to move on to higher offices. This is something that he has to answer for.
Well, yeah.
Because somebody in any debate, whether it be for Congress, Senate, whatever, I mean, they're going to show pictures of this and go, what is the concrete pad here, Justin? What's going on here? Right along the lakeshore, Chicago's able to do this along their lake. Milwaukee's able to do this along, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why is there this? So you're going to have to make sure that the people who are going to build something are able to do something. I think that this is ultimately what they've always wanted. And this is him saying, all right, we are getting down to the nitty gritty of this where you're going to have to, again, get this thing going if you want to get it completed by 2029, because it's not just putting up a stadium. You got to get all the roads taken care of and all that stuff like that. That's going to take a major amount of time. And so it's time to go, you know what? That's it. If the city can get something out of it, fine, whatever. And I think that he's willing to move on and see what they can do as far as the lakefront now. And I think it's my personal belief that this is something that he's just always wanted. And that probably his group has probably wanted for a long time. I don't know about, you know, Mayor Frank Jackson and what he wanted, but that's kind of how I feel about all this. And that there was I don't want to put it on him altogether, talking about the mayor, but I do think that this was a chance for certain politicians in the area to get performative about it.
Well,
and to get their name out there.
Are you surprised that it seems like people from, you know, commentators to people in the online world, to just people in general are like picking sides, vilifying one side and the other? Because in the end, I just want Cleveland to get, I want the people, the taxpayers, to get a good deal. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'd love a dome stadium, but not at the expense of this and this. Like, I think we all should just want a really good deal. We should want a negotiation. Like, that's the one thing. And I've told Daryl this. Like, Daryl is aiming his arrows at, you know, people in Cuyahoga County and decision makers. By the way, rightfully so, they should be held accountable. But I also don't want one entity to walk over the other. Like, I want a negotiation. I want these things to be hard. I want them to be really hard.
Well, they should be because they can't be voted on. So right. If they can't be voted on, something's got to get ugly.
Right. That's the whole point. That's
just part of it.
Like the people in the community, from taxpayers to just people that live here have been left out. We have no say. You know, you just elect your leaders and say, go to bat for us. And then you root for your sports teams. But what say do you have in any of this? And down the road, like, I mean, depending on what are tickets going to cost, what is PSL situation, and then your taxes. That's how you're going to be impacted by all of this. And I feel like that aspect of it is not really being clarified. So I'm seeing people on social media scream and yell, but how are you truly being impacted? Outside of, yeah, in the middle of January, I might get to go to a playoff game in a t-shirt instead of a parka and gloves. But what is it going to cost?